SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
We interrupt this ad break to bring you a public kindness announcement. Give them a seat. Will the real kind Katies, Amys and Jamies please stand up? Don't get us wrong, we're all for giving the sticks a rest, but she's packing a whole human being in there, which according to her pregnancy app, has grown from the size of a mango to a watermelon overnight. So go on, get your peach up off the bus seat for our Prego peeps. Log your act of kindness at kindnessfactory.com and use the hashtag OneSmallAct.
Authorised by the Kindness Factory, Canberra.
The National Indigenous Youth Education Coalition, NAIC, have just launched their landmark school exclusion project research report coinciding with Harmony Day 2024. And I'm happy to say I'm joined by Hayley McGuire, NAIC CEO, to explore this groundbreaking report. Hayley, first of all, welcome to NITB Radio and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's go into this school exclusion project. How does this report shed light on the historical context of school exclusion for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples?
The school exclusion project research report is the first time that the history of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander school exclusion has been put all in one place. And so we've looked into the different ways that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students have been excluded from school from the 19th century to present day across every jurisdiction. And I guess the two systemic areas that we looked into were having direct access to education and also the disproportionate use of disciplinary measures as the kind of two main areas of focus for the report.
And what are the key findings regarding the systemic barriers faced by marginalized students in education?
So the research presented in the report made it really clear, and that is that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students have been systemically excluded from school since the very establishment of the Australian schooling system. We also found that there were other student cohorts that face higher levels of exclusion, which include learners with disabilities and also learners living in out-of-home care. But what we also found was that it was really tricky to have access to full range of data to fully understand just the level of exclusion that's happening. But what we were able to find is that definitely since the very establishment of the schooling system, our kids have been excluded. But what we also found was that throughout that time, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have actively resisted exclusion. So our families, our parents, our communities have, from the very beginning, advocated and wanted for our children to have access to a quality education.
And how does the report advocate for inclusive education, especially for Indigenous from an Indigenous perspective?
There are a couple of key recommendations. I think our first call is that we want all educators, all learners, our whole community to really understand the systemic nature of school exclusion and also the fact that for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students, that exclusion has been based on with racial justifications, which is why we're launching the report during Harmony Week, because we want to pay special attention to the ongoing impacts of racism and discrimination on our students, but also on multiple different types of learners. The other two calls that we're making is for student agency and student voice to really be central, so that we're in any kind of reform initiative that's going to address exclusion. So we want students to really have an active role in the kind of decision-making processes that impact their learning journeys. And I think the most important call, and one that the National Indigenous Youth Education Coalition is centering all our work towards, the establishment of a First Nations-led education system where, our learners can have access to a system of learning that respects and acknowledges and embeds our views and our philosophies. Otherwise, we'll still experience exclusion due to it not being culturally safe or responsive for our learners. So those are some of the recommendation calls for us to move forward towards a more inclusive learning system.
Yeah, and coming back to what you just said, what specific dangers do exclusions pose to children and youth as highlighted in your research findings?
Yeah. we come from a position of like every child has a right to a quality education, regardless of their background or where they're from. So exclusion is, I guess, flies right in the face of that. One of the things that the report discusses is that suspensions and expulsions have been used as a tool of student behaviour management, but it's actually, there's no real evidence saying that that works. But in fact, that we've also seen examples where if students have experienced multiple suspensions, then they're more likely to go and be excluded. And so not only does this take away from every learner's right to an education, a free and fair education across their life, it also has risks of putting young people at greater risk of interacting with the legal and justice system. And so there's been more evidence and research happening, especially in the United States, around the role that, you know, they call it the school to prison pipeline. And I think given the higher number of cases where our young people are interacting with the justice system, I think it puts our learners in particular at greater risk of not forming those connections or that sense of belonging in school and being diverted into alternative pathways, you know, away from further learning.
Yeah, and that's something that's really very, very hard to tackle, the school to prison. It's a horrible thing with the higher rates of incarceration than any other members of the community. This is something that needs to be tackled at its roots. Can you elaborate on how Indigenous-led learning systems can address racialized school exclusion?
When we look at the history of the strategies that our families and communities used to resist exclusion, there was multiple kind of strategies and tactics that were employed, from like doing petitions and writing letters and advocating for students. What also was included was the establishment of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander-led black schools. For example, back in the, I think, 70s, we had the first Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander school established in Townsville, the black school. And then we've seen more examples through time of communities working together to establish their own schools. I think where we need to go from now is to learn from that history and really question, how do we move beyond just the establishment of individual schools in place to that systemic reform that we need? And what is the kind of system level infrastructure do we need to support more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander schools to get up and work and support them? So I think while we're calling for that, we've also seen that mob have already been in that space. And so what we're asking for, and it was also highlighted by Children's Ground in the MK Turner report, is that mob are calling for support to establish our own Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander community-controlled learning system. I think we've seen examples that it works in health, in other spaces. Why not education?
Coming back to the launch of the report in the context of Harmony Day 2024, how will the report launch event contribute to fostering conversations and actions for inclusive education?
In Australia, you know, Harmony Day is referred to Harmony Day to recognise diversity and multiculturalism, which is all really, really important. But it was actually rebranded as that by John Howard during his government. And internationally, the day is known as International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And so our report kind of speaks to the ways that our children have been excluded from school based on race. And so by launching it during this week and on that day, we're saying to the Australian public, hey, this is the historical experience of our kids in school. And while we need to appreciate and respect where everyone's coming from, we also need to take concerted, real action to address racism and discrimination. And we need to understand the origins of how that has played out in our schooling system. It's been built into the bedrock of our education system since the very beginning. And unless we understand this history and unless we understand the experiences of our mob, then we can't fully appreciate or understand the context of which we're trying to address racism and discrimination now. So that's why we're calling for action and launching it through that day.
In what ways do you envision the school exclusion project research serving as a foundation for future youth-led action research and school exclusion?
So what we find with the research report is really just the beginning. It provides the framework for us to have a conversation about the issue of exclusion. At the same time that we've developed the research report, we've created a youth guide, School Exclusion 101, to support students to also critically engage in conversations around school exclusion and understanding what their rights are if they experience exclusion. So we really want this to, you know, we really want to walk the talk in saying that student voice and student agency is really essential. But we're also, this research report is part of a broader NIAC initiative called the Education Justice League, where we're trying to create our own youth-centered think tank, really. And so the next step here is really to engage in supporting more students and young people to share their experiences and for us to culminate that into further youth-centered or youth action participatory research initiatives so that, you know, the voices of our young people aren't just seen as like anecdotal anymore. Is that, no, this is their valid experiences. There's a whole body of research that supports them. And so let's use that now to take action.
Wow, a lot of thoughts and ideas there. Before I let you go, can you explain the significance of the School Exclusion 101 Youth Guide in empowering young people to challenge school exclusion?
The significance of this report is that it's also it's accessible and it's for all young people and all students to really engage with. And I think one of the things that's in the School Exclusion 101 Youth Guide is an audit tool. So students can actually audit what their own student code of conducts are and how exclusion can show up. It also leads them into, you know, links and directions where they can understand their rights better. But what we're hoping for is that a young person, well, it's kind of a bit of a shift in power, you know. We hope that we can end school exclusion by really first understanding it properly and working together to address exclusionary practices, but also support educators and teachers, you know, to think of what are the different ways that we can create learning environments and learning systems so that exclusion and suspensions just don't even need to come up.
Hayley McGuire, CEO of NIAC, the National Indigenous Youth Education Coalition, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on NITV Radio about your landmark report, the School Education Exclusion Project Research Report. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Awesome. Thank you.
We interrupt this ad break to bring you a public kindness announcement. Give them a seat. Will the real kind Katies, Amys and Jamies please stand up? Don't get us wrong, we're all for giving the sticks a rest, but she's packing a whole human being in there, which according to her pregnancy app, has grown from the size of a mango to a watermelon overnight. So go on, get your peach up off the bus seat for our Prego peeps. Log your act of kindness at kindnessfactory.com and use the hashtag #OneSmallAct.
Authorised by the Kindness Factory, Canberra.